Well, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. We're so glad that you could join us, whether you're with the little gathered community watching us live or you're finding time during this week to watch our service. It's with great joy that Chris Smith is going to be bringing God's word to us this week. We'll hear Chris later on in our service. As we approach our Easter reflections, there's lots of things going on. Unfortunately, the majority of them are still on Zoom. So please do have a look at the link, have a look at our diary. There's things to engage on Thursday and Friday and Sunday evening as well. However, next Sunday, if you'd like to return to the building, you're welcome to join us on Easter morning. And then from then, hopefully, you'll be able to book in every week to be part of our service here. And just to reiterate, I've shared this with the church members, there is no pressure to come back. Please, we're going to be here ready when you are feeling you want to return. There is no pressure or expectation that suddenly we'll have everyone back on Easter Sunday. And please stay at home if you're uncomfortable being at home. However, if you'd like to come out and join us on Easter morning, and please do come at 10:30. There's a booking form on our website. Maxime will send you all the details about how to come and how to be part of our service safely next Sunday morning. We've had a number of people who have made little gardens of hope. If you look at our Facebook page, there's some photos there. There's still time. You'll have to check on the website for the closing details, and then we'll give the prizes out as a church as well. So please do engage with that, maybe even this week as schools have broken up. We continue to offer a food bank drop-off place. It's there 24/7. It's just something we've done for the last year. Denise and Ian Bell have been religiously coming and picking up and taking over to Sawston to take to the food bank there. But if you want to drop things off, maybe make a special effort this Easter time to drop something in so that we can distribute over the Easter period. This evening, our Zoom prayer is a little bit different. Bismarck's not hosting at 8 o'clock. We're joining with the other Baptist churches in Cambridge at 7 o'clock. If you want details of that, I've asked Maxine to send that out today, so hopefully she will. But if you do want those details, please do contact Maxine and she'll give you the Zoom details. But they should be going out in an email this afternoon. So please do. That's an opportunity for us to join with the other Baptist churches. It's part of an expression of our ministers gathering. We've met as ministers for many years now, and we decided let's just pray together one Sunday about four times a year, and you're welcome to join us. It's about us just coming together, and everyone else is invited to be part of that. So please do a thing, but it's 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, so make sure you get your timings right. Well, we're going to hand over to Charlotte and the team as they lead us in a time of worship. Thank you, Charlotte.
Good morning, everyone.
Hope is stirring, hearts
As we enter Palm Sunday, let us use these words of liturgy. So please do say when it says all. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we will bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession up to the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Christ Jesus, you came that we might have life, and have life abundantly. Precious Jesus, we offer you our praise and our thanks. You poured living water into the lives that were parched and thirsty. Precious Jesus, we offer you our praise and thanks. You fed souls that were hungry with the bread of life. Precious Jesus, we offer you our praise and thanks. You brought healing through a touch that knew no prejudice or barrier. Precious Jesus, we offer you our praise and thanks. You brought salvation through the cross. Precious Jesus, we offer you our praise and our thanks. Amen. Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. As you can see, I'm not here with Clive today. You're a donkey. Donald the donkey. Donald! Well, a warm welcome to you, Donald. He says thank you. So, Clive, I mean Donald, are you here to share something special today? But it's not cake. Donkeys don't eat cake. Only grass and oats and carrots. It's very sad for the donkey, but lucky for the rest of us. Yes. So, can you tell us what it is you want to share with us? You want to share your story. It's written down. And will I read it? Do you want me to read it to everyone? Okay. This is Donald's story. Donald was tied up outside his owner's house, just minding his own business, as much as any donkey can mind his own business, when two men came along and untied him. They told his owner that the Lord needed him. Donald was surprised that the owners allowed the men to take him, and he wondered who the Lord was. It was Jesus. Yes. Read on and we'll find out. So the men spread their cloaks on Donald's back and Jesus sat on him. Donald had never been ridden before and it felt very strange, but he sensed that Jesus was someone special. He was the Lord and Donald knew that he would not harm him. They rode along the streets and it was very busy as they came into the city. Donald had never seen so many people before. He thought it was a bit scary. But he stayed calm because the Lord was with him. People were running in front of Donald and some of them threw their cloaks on the ground and others cut down palm branches and laid them in front of him. These made a carpet for him to walk on. And it was much softer for his feet than the hard stones. It made Donald feel very special. But he understood that it was really for the special person who was riding on his back. Then the people started shouting and waving palm branches in the air. It made Donald jump a bit. But he kept steady. And the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the King! Praise the name of Jesus! Praise the King who comes riding on the donkey!" And Donald realised that the Lord Jesus riding on his back must be a king too. You felt very proud. He was very kind and very gentle. But some other people in the crowd were cross. They were the religious people, the Pharisees, and they thought they knew best about everything. They said that Jesus should stop the people from shouting praise. But Jesus said that would be impossible. There is so much happiness here that if the people stopped praising, then even the stones in the street would jump up and shout for joy. Donald felt really happy too. It was a very special moment. All the people were praising and all the branches were waving and he could hear the birds joining in the song. And he would have loved to have seen the stones jump up and join in the praise too. Donald felt like dancing. But because he didn't want to startle King Jesus, he just brayed loudly to join in the praise. It was a moment that Donald the donkey will always remember. The day he carried a king on his back. The day he met the Lord of all heaven and earth. Is that the end? Well, it's the end of Donald's story, but it's not the end of Jesus' story. We know that the people who cheered so loudly turned against him. And within a week, he was put to death. That's really sad. Yes, But after 3 days, he came back to life, and he is still alive today. Because he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is indeed. And what a joy it is to know that we are loved by the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And we can praise him too. We can praise King Jesus and welcome him into our cities or towns or villages. And we can welcome him into our homes and into our lives. We can all praise the King of Kings. Yes, all people and donkeys and even stones and orangutans. Yes. But thank you, Donald, for sharing your story with us. You don't want to be Donald anymore. Donald is a donkey, and donkeys don't eat cake. And it's nearly cake time. Well, let's take your mask off then, and we'll say goodbye. Goodbye from me, and goodbye from Clive, and goodbye from Donald. And we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
Good morning. This week's reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. Jesus' triumphant entry. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go to the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with a colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Israel, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt.'" The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from trees that spread on and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the centre of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Good morning, Saints. It's a great privilege and pleasure to be able to speak to you on this Palm Sunday. I've recently finished a book, and it's Barack Obama's latest book. It came out at the end of last year, and it's called The Promised Land, and looks at his early life and the first part of his time in office. Actually, I didn't read it. I listened to it, listened to the audio version, but it's read by Barack himself. And although I'd say the book goes into more detail than I would expect for a head of state, his skills as a communicator really shine through. He's able to speak in a way that not only treats everyone with respect and value, but is able to combine a humility that listens and learns with a confidence that results and conveys a deep sense of authority. Now, I don't know Barack Obama personally, and I'm guessing you don't either, but I wonder if you know anyone else with a similar ability. Because I can only think of maybe one or two other people, one at my work, maybe one or two others, people who are able to combine a humility and a confidence when they speak. And they're not always powerful people. Sometimes they are. More often they're not. And if you get the chance to get to know one of these people and you find out that their walk matches their talk, then it's even more inspiring. Quite often they're authority comes from their authenticity. And in the Christian life, we talk about holiness, and true holiness is often a great source of authority, though it's not always an authority that the world recognises. When we think of holy Christians, we might think of someone like Mother Teresa, whose holiness became a great source of power and influence, breeding an authority in the right sense of the word. And equally, when the walk doesn't match the talk, it leads to a lack of authority. And I'm sure we can all think of people for whom that can apply. Ultimately, as Christians, we can look to Jesus as our supreme example and our role model. He was and is the most holy. There was no one better at combining humility, or we could say meekness, and authority, or we could say majesty. And no more so than in this final week of Jesus' physical life on earth. These two attributes, meekness and majesty, I want to briefly dwell on this morning. Palm Sunday marks the start of Passion Week. It's where we remember the final week of Jesus' physical life on earth. In fact, it's a bit strange how the word passion relates to Christ's sufferings, which is what the word means etymologically, because it's more recently the word passion has taken on a more romantic meaning. But if you lived in medieval times, then the noun passio would mean suffering or enduring. So the Passion Week refers to Christ's sufferings. And a large amount of the Gospels is given over to this final week. Now, I'm a scientist, as some of you may know, so I've done the calculation. I can tell you that of all the Gospel chapters, 26%, or 26.4%, if you want the exact number, of the Gospel chapters are devoted to this one week of Jesus' life. It's a week that starts with today's passage, that people are heralding Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah and his entry into Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the epicentre of the Jewish faith. And the week ends with the same people chanting, "Crucify," and hanging him on a cross just beyond the city walls, their hopes seemingly dashed because he didn't fit the mould, or their mould, of a saviour. This Palm Sunday story is known so well, and probably one of the most famous verses is our quotation from Zechariah saying, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." When you think about it, the humble king sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, but that's who Jesus is. That's the kind of king he is. He is humble. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. He's not tame, but he's good, to quote C.S. Lewis on the Christ-like figure of Aslan in the Chronicles of Narnia. And Claire highlighted that really well for us the other week. Also, do you ever feel like there are some passages in the Bible that you know so well that you could recite backwards? I bet you're probably too good to admit, but this is, for me, one of those passages. And you read the passage 50, 100 times, and then you read it again, and suddenly something pops out to you that you never realised was there before. And as I was preparing this talk, I realised in verse 7, I hadn't picked up, but Matthew mentions both a donkey and a colt. See, when I imagine this story in my head and I formed a picture of it, I see Jesus riding on one donkey going down a path with the crowds over either side. But in Matthew's version, they're actually two animals. It actually makes some sense. A mother donkey to move alongside an unbroken colt would keep it calm. And as I was thinking of that, the image of that journey between parent and child and the calmness that's provided, in a way, it's a wonderful picture on many levels, our walk with Jesus being one of them. And our meek Jesus is greeted with shouts of Hosanna and blessing. Often on Palm Sunday, we we wave palm crosses that we make. This is one that my son Samuel made earlier in the week, this palm cross. People were waving palm branches on that first Palm Sunday. It was a joyous moment, a time of celebration, very much the highlight of Jesus' last week before it all got hard. But even though he is walking through this week to his death and apparent defeat, far from a submission of inferiority, we see Jesus asserting his majesty. And that's my second point. He's asserting his majesty over many different areas. Majesty meaning supreme greatness or authority. And in this final week, we can see his majesty and his authority over so many different areas of life. He is asserting his majesty over the willing masses when he rode in on a donkey, as we read in today's passage. He asserts his majesty and authority over nature when he curses the fig tree. Remember that story? He asserts his majesty and authority over the religion of the day when he cleared the temple. He asserts his majesty and authority over money when he talks about paying taxes to Caesar. And in the same exchange, he asserts it over authority itself when he debates with the teachers about his and John the Baptist's authority and where it came from. You may remember that story. He asserts his majesty and authority over time when he spoke about the signs of the end of the age. He asserts it over the Passover when he instituted the First Communion. He asserts it over fear when he prayed in Gethsemane. He asserts it over the Roman and Jewish leaders through the words he spoke when he was on trial. And actually, it was them that were on trial rather than him. He asserts his authority and majesty over sin when he died on the cross. And finally, over death, when he rose again. Jesus is fully asserting his majesty and his messiahship, despite the seemingly hopeless physical appearance. But his assertion is not one of force, at least not for those who recognise him as saviour. See, he is a God who wants us to see him for who he is, a humble king, a saviour who loves, who is faithful, who is more generous than we could ever know. His assertion is one of love. But whilst he makes his invitation to all, and he makes it as broad and as long and as wide as possible, for those who refuse and continue to refuse to answer to his loving call, a time will come when the assertion is made. And later on in our chapter, in Matthew 21, verse 44, it says, "And the one who falls on this stone," that's Jesus Christ, "will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And this invitation to come to God is possible only because of what's happened at the end of this Passion Week. Because although we may read today's passage as the highlight of Jesus' week, the actual highlight for humanity came at the end of the week. See, Good Friday was actually Black Friday, when Jesus died on the cross. Yet Jesus' Black Friday was our Good Friday, our greatest Friday. Jesus' meekness and majesty, summed up by Graham Kendrick's very famous song, "Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility and washes our feet. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross. Suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice. And as they crucify, prays, Father, forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. And what's our response? Bow down and worship, for this is your God, this is our God. My prayer for you is that whether the path ahead of you is hard or easy, whether you choose to walk the week of Jesus or not, that you would grow to know more of his meekness and his majesty in your life. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, the eagle-eyed of you would have thought we would have ended with meekness and majesty, which was the song we were due. I'd just saved it wrong, and unfortunately, we can't play it. We'll either put it up on Facebook later, or we'll save it for another week. And thank you for Charlotte and the team for all your hard work in putting that together. Sorry that we missed that. And Chris had teed it up really well, hadn't he? And then we kind of missed our opportunity, but never mind. We haven't had a huge amount of prayer requests, so I'm going to just close in prayer for us as a community. I'm sure if you've got children, your week is a little bit different. I'm sure as the 29th comes and the country opens up, a little bit, that we'll be out and about and interacting. I'd love just to pray a blessing on our Easter holiday, an opportunity for us to move out from our space into the world around us, but an opportunity for us to reflect on what Jesus has done for us. So let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you hold all things together, that within your nature and character, that there is your love, your peace, and your grace. And as many engage with others more this coming week than we've done for the last 3 months, I pray for a blessing on community, a blessing on opportunities to engage, to laugh together, to eat together, to sit out in the cold with one another. I pray that there'll be a warmth in fellowship. And Lord God, I pray a protection on our community, protection on your people. Lord God, I thank you that you care so much about this world, that Easter happened. And as we reflect in these coming days, I pray that we would know something of your passion for us and your love for us. Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you this week. Thank you, Chris, for sharing God's word with us. Next week, it's me and Diana in the building. We're going to get Diana back in here to join us on Easter Sunday. So God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.